We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Steve Salmers, Sports Radio 101.9 FM, the Fan, WFAN.
Okay, as previously advertised, we'll spend a few minutes now with Mike Vorkunov. He's with The Athletic, and he covers, among other teams, the New York Knickerbockers. And Michael, once again, I guess now for the second time, thanks for giving us a couple of minutes of your time.
Always an honor.
Well, we could say the same, that's for sure. And the Knickerbockers, with Atlanta winning tonight, they're basically, what is it, a half a game in back of the Knicks, still in the number four seed. And the Knickerbockers hold the tiebreaker, so they would have to have a mini collapse with losing that number four seed. But again, we do know that they can clinch a spot in the top six and avoid the play-in tournament, you know, by knowing what's going on by the time they hit the court against the Lakers on Tuesday night, tomorrow night, because of the 10 o'clock start Eastern time. So you give the Knickerbockers a shot to hold on, a good shot to hold on to that number four seed.
I think so. I think it'll be close between them, and it seems like Miami is coming on pretty strong. And Miami has the tiebreaker over the Knicks. The Knicks have one over the Hawks. So it's all circular there. But, yeah, I think that's the most important thing right now for them is to make sure that they're a top six seed, avoid the play-in tournament where, you know, this entire season goes kaput in two games. But I still think they'll end up in that 4-5 matchup at least.
Yeah, and, of course, I mean, because Atlanta would be, you would think, and who knows already, because we know what Miami did last year in the bubble, getting all the way to the finals and surprising a lot of teams. I'm considering that where the Knickerbockers are right now, they're going to be in the postseason, whether it's the play-in or among the top six. I would consider this a success for the New York Knickerbockers, considering that they have four more games to play and they are going to be in the postseason. And some might say, well, if they are eliminated in the first round that they're playing, that it would be a major, major disappointment. I could understand how disappointing any Knickerbocker loss would be to a Knickerbocker fan. However, to me, the season is already a success. Would you agree with that?
Oh, for sure. I think it feels miraculous to some Knicks fans compared to how everything's been the last, you know, 7 or 8 years. The expectations for them were so low coming into the season, and they've just outperformed every one of them. I think the playoffs seemed like far-fetched back before December 22nd, before the season started. And hey, if they lose in the first round, you know, I'm sure that a lot of Knicks fans will be unhappy, especially if it's in that 4-5 matchup instead of to one of the top three teams in the East. But to call it a disappointment, I think would be a slight to how this entire season has gone for them and just how much they've overperformed what everyone thought they were going to do.
And you can't say enough, obviously, with what Leon Rose has done, what Wild West Wesley has done, what Tom Tebow has done. Would you vote for Tebow for Coach of the Year?
It's probably him or Quinn Snyder in Utah. Those are the two options for me. But I think he's definitely up there. It's been crazy to see just how much so much of the roster is the same compared to last year, and here they are, you know, fighting for the number four spot in the Eastern Conference, and so much of that goes for Thibodeau.
What do you know, if much at all, about the point guard that they signed, the Argentina kid, who's been playing basketball, the point guard? He is in the Spanish League, and I know that the Knicks have signed him. What do you know about him, if anything at all? Have you seen him play?
I mean, I think the first thing I know is he might be disappointed by the food scene here in New York compared to where he grew up and where he was playing in Spain. And I guess the other thing is, you know, he seems to be a really good passer, a good shooter when he's catching the ball. He's got some issues. There's some questions about whether he'll be physical and big enough for the NBA compared to who he was playing against in Europe. But the Knicks are kind of taking a shot with him. They're so far below the salary cap for this year that this kind of brings them up right there. So they had the room. They probably won't have him play until next season. They'll take a look at him through the summer and training camp next year. And maybe this is a guy who they can have become a backup point guard for them. Just kind of take a wild card and see if it develops.
Well, you have to believe that Peyton is not going to be the point guard that they want in the backcourt. And I would think that there's a better chance of Rose taking over as the point guard at his advanced age, more so than Peyton. If the kid from Spain, even though he's Argentine, but if the kid from Spain doesn't really latch on and make it with the Knickerbockers, and Peyton is not going to be the future in the backcourt moving forward, what do you think the Knickerbockers would do? What can they do?
Peyton's probably their third best point guard on the team already, behind Manuel Quickly and Derrick Rose. And Rose is a free agent this summer. I assume that they'll bring him back. You know, he's a Tibbs favorite. Those two guys are, you know, just kind of in a forever basketball relationship. So I assume he'll be back, and Quickly is developing. I think point guard is probably the position they need to most improve at for next year. If Peyton is a free agent, I think they'll probably try to improve on him in free agency or the trade market. Their draft picks are going to be probably in the 20s now, so they can't really get an improvement right away through the draft anymore, but they need help there. And, you know, Luka Vildoza, the player, the Argentinian from Baskonia, like I said, probably trying out for a backup position there, but they need to get a starting point guard onto the roster, because Derrick Rose, as good as he's been, is still a guy who's probably best suited for that backup point guard position. And Emmanuel Quickly, you know, they make a nice backcourt coming off the bench, and I think they'd probably like to keep that together.
What can you say about Randall that hasn't been said already?
Nothing. I think everything's been said. I'm out of words. He's been amazing. You could probably put it better than I can, but I mean, he's been an all NBA level player this season. It just, you know, it's compared to what everyone had to watch for 82 games last year, probably coming into the year, there was some dread about having to watch it again, but he's been a superstar.
And if he's not there with the scoring, and we saw that, you know, just recently, if he's not there with the scoring, he's going to grab a rebound, and he is going to assist, and he certainly can draw some help defenders, which makes it easier for him to make a great pass into the corner, where a Burks or a Bullock or even a Quickly and R.J. Barrett is going to possibly take a good three and make it. I mean, their three-point shooting, they were not known, this group of players to be named later from a year ago. They were not considered to be very good at three-point shooting, and yet they have worked at it, and sometimes after hours, as we say in the trade, after games, they go to the gym. We know that with some of the players, if not a good many of them, and their three-point shooting has done wonders for the wins that they have this year.
It's been incredible. I think Again, you know, not to harp on preseason expectations, but nobody really thought this team was going to be, you know, a bunch of good shooters. I think that was the perceived weakness for them. They're a top five team on the season in 3-point shooting. They're second best in the league over the last 55-ish games, shooting 40% from three, which is, you know, just really an elite type of number. And it starts with Randall, who's shooting about 42%. RJ Barrett's almost at 40% quickly. Derrick Rose is shooting better than ever before. Bullock, it's just, you know, they're getting great shots and they're making a lot of them. And it might be the kind of season where so many of the players on the roster are all having career years from three all at once.
And beating the Clippers on Sunday, here was a Knickerbocker team that learned its lesson, if you will, from Denver and from Phoenix and needing to tighten things up defensively, which is all about Thibodeau with his defense leading to offense and shutting down other teams, but holding the Phoenix Suns to only 20 points in the fourth quarter. The Clippers, what am I talking? The Clippers were held to only 20 points in the fourth quarter in a very close game that they were not expected to win, especially playing them on the road.
No, and the Knicks have become one of those teams where you kind of enjoy watching them play defense, and that's what they did to the Clippers yesterday, just suffocating Kawhi Leonard, Paul George, that whole team, one of the best offenses in the NBA, and you know, they're able to win games even when they don't score 115 points a night like you need to most times in the NBA this year. And it's just, you know, I think that's why they've been so good, is that there's always kind of a high floor for them because they put on a great defensive performance most nights, and that allows them to still win games when the offense doesn't really come through.
And with Mitchell Robinson going down, you really can't say enough about Noel coming off the bench and starting and really getting the job done with rebounds and blocks, maybe two and a half a game, I think, is the average with him already, but he's blocking everything in sight. And also off the bench is Gibson, who was supposed to be on the back nine with his career, but somebody that Thibodeau knows very well from previous experience with him. And these two guys, from a defensive point of view, from a rebounding point of view, and blocks, I mean, both Gibson and Noel, they have been terrific coming off the bench.
I don't know which one has been more surprising and which one has been more fun to watch. Gibson, maybe, like you said, you know, he's 35, but he's still got it. He's still making key blocks, key defensive plays, and sometimes occasionally getting to the rim for dunks. Thibodeau is probably going to be coaching him in 20 years from now when they're coaching and playing at the Y together. And Noel has been, you know, great. They haven't really missed a step from Mitchell Robinson getting hurt. It makes you kind of think about whether they should invest a lot long-term in Robinson, but he's been an elite shot blocker. He gets his hands on the ball on defense, and he's really made the Thibodeau defense work by having a rim-protecting center in the middle of it.
Mm-hmm. Do you see a future with this team for Obi Toppin?
I see a future in the sense that they have him under contract. He's been getting better, but it's still hard to think he's been worth a number eight pick.
Right. And yet he was very successful at Dayton, and he was the Associated Press Offensive Player of the Year. He had a 3-point shot, but also filling in for somebody like Randall, his minutes are going to be limited. And that brings me to this question. Will the Knickerbockers be able to let him take a breath before the postseason gets underway? Because I don't think any starter in the NBA has played more minutes per game than Julius Randle.
No, I think you're right. And I think it's kind of you know, not Tom Thibodeau's way to give guys a night's off for load management. I don't know if Julius Randle wants that either, but he's just played so much. And I think that's why Toppin is so important, is on the nights where Toppin plays 10 minutes instead of 6 or 7, you see a little more verve for Randle down the stretch like he did against the Clippers. So if he can improve as he has been the last few weeks and be a little more competitive defensively, I think it'll make the Knicks so much better, just because it keeps Julius Randle's workload just a little bit lighter, and that's enough for him to kind of close teams out down the stretch possibly.
Mm-hmm. And what do you think was the turnaround for R.J. Barrett? You know, a lot of people want to throw into the mix that he wasn't a part of the old rookie team a year ago and may have been slighted and insulted by all of that, and comes out this season and really has made such a positive difference, no question about it. And of course, with IQ, with Quickly, he has had his best outings when he and Rose are in the backcourt together.
Yeah, I mean, for Barrett, I'm a simple guy. For me, it's whenever his jump shot turned around and he started hitting threes consistently, I think that just made everything so much better. For Barrett and Quickly, it's the same thing. He started shooting a little more, got more comfortable, and everything else opened up for him. Teams started fearing the three, started getting called, getting a lot of foul draws there behind the three-point line, a bunch of four-point plays. It opened up for him to drive for the floater, too. And so, hey, that's really kind of been the story for the Knicks. They've, you know, everyone talks about this Tom Thibodeau team is a great defensive team, and they are, but they're a great three-point shooting team, and you know, that's kind of made things so much better for them, and mm-hmm. the fact that Tom Thibodeau has set up an offense to do that.
And Burks and Bullock, they have contributed mightily also to the Knickerbocker's success.
Yeah, there's just a long line of these unsung heroes and guys kind of outplaying their career expectations this season for the Knicks. I think that's why the whole team's been a surprise and a positive one for New York.
If it is the Knickerbockers and Atlanta in the first round, the 4 and the 5, we would think that the Knickerbockers can take care of Atlanta. If it is going to be Miami, it might be a little bit more difficult. We understand from that. I love looking at the standings and see that the Knickerbockers are not all that, although this is, I mean, out of the realm of possibility, I understand, but it's fun looking at the overall standings and seeing that the New York Knickerbockers, of all people, are within striking distance. There's just not enough season or enough talent, but within striking distance of the Brooklyn Nets.
They might be close, but I still feel like they're worlds apart. If those two teams meet in the playoffs, like the second round, if it works out somehow, yeah, I think the Knicks would be heavy, heavy underdogs. But it would be fun
to
add a little more zest to this rivalry if it is one at this point.
And let me ask you from your vantage point, even though you cover the Knickerbockers, of course, you certainly are familiar with Brooklyn, and will there defensive shortcomings play a part in any unexpected early elimination for them, even with Harden expected back before too very long, maybe in their very next game?
I think if those three guys aren't all healthy and playing, I could see the defense come back to hurt them. But if Harden, Durant, and Kyrie are all healthy and are able to play, I don't see how other teams can outscore them. When you have those three out at the four at the same time, it's an artillery out there. I just don't know how any other team can compete, no matter how bad the defense is. They'll make enough stops, and they'll score so much more.
Hey, yeah, well, that's the point with them. I mean, they can certainly give up a number of points, there's no question, but they could outshoot you and outscore you. And if all three are healthy and all three are doing what they do, then you can make the argument they are possibly a championship caliber team. There's no question about it. Although I think it's going to be a little bit more difficult for them than what we thought, because even with their scoring prowess and even with their kind of bench that they have, and because they get so much of a contribution from just about everybody on that roster, I do think it might be a little bit more difficult than a lot of us think, even with all three, the big three on the floor together and all three healthy. I'm still wondering about whether or not teams, whether it's going to be Milwaukee, whether it's going to be Philadelphia, taking advantage of their defensive lack of consistency, and whether or not they'll be able to outscore some other teams, even with the big three on the floor. Where do you find they would have more of a difficult time with Philadelphia or with Milwaukee if it gets down to that?
It's tough. I wouldn't be surprised if they lost to either team. I'd put them as the favorites probably, but I wouldn't be shocked. You know, Philadelphia would be interesting with Embiid and with Simmons, to see Simmons, who's such a good defender, to see what he can do against Durant or Harden, and then what they do trying to guard Joel Embiid and the shooters that Philadelphia put out on the floor. I think that'll be a really fun and interesting series. So the Milwaukee one too, just to see Giannis and Durant kind of guarding each other for a full series. So I think the Nets would have a hard time either way. You know, if Miami gets to the second round, like, there's a bunch of tough matchups there for them in the East that would at least make it difficult for them. I don't think it'll be a cakewalk.
Right. And, of course, Boston getting the worst news possible, Jaylen Brown out for the rest of the season with that ligament damage in the wrist. So they lose a player averaging, what, 24, 25 points a game, their best player this season. And so that's not going to help them at all. And most likely they're going to get themselves into that play-in tournament.
Yeah, Boston is just a mess right now. And with the injury to Brown, they're probably headed for that 7 or 8 seed, and they're going to have to survive that play-in tournament. Jason Tatum, you know, is going to have the bulk of the offense to carry. They're just kind of they're kind of hitting their low at the wrong time.
All right, a final question for you, Michael. If the Knickerbockers do get by either Atlanta, if they stay in the number four and they have to play Atlanta, or if they have to play Miami and they end up with a win against either of those two teams, do you expect them to do anything with what their second round opponent would be? Do you expect them to do anything in any series against who they would take on in that second round?
I think if they win one round, that'll be the best moment for the franchise in 20 years. They might have to take that into their pockets going into the offseason.
And you think this kind of season, with the way it's been run by Rose and Thibodeau, and because of how this team has played this season, impressing other players, other teams, do you think that it'll be that much easier for the Knickerbockers to attract free agents in the future to come and help?
Yeah, I think so. Whether it's free agents or whether it's the next star to kind of get angry and want to leave his franchise for somewhere better, I think this season probably puts the Knicks a little closer to being in the running. There's two things that they have now they really couldn't rely on the last decade or so. One, they're a winning team, and two, they just seem like a calm, competent franchise now, and you couldn't really say that about them the last few years.
Mm-hmm. Well, we shall see. It's been very, very exciting, and it's going to be continuing, and we'll all be looking in. Michael, thanks an awful lot for a couple of minutes of your time. Do take care of yourself, and maybe we can do it again soon.
Oh, I'd love to, anytime.
Thanks, Michael. Vorkunov of The Athletic, and he covers the NBA, certainly, but his B team, the team that he covers most of all, is the New York Knickerbockers for that publication. So we thank him.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.